All right, children, if you come join me, I got a little something in my bag here I want to show you. Let's see. Always have interesting stuff in the bag here. All right, who knows what this is?
Drill.
It's a drill, all right? Somebody want to come show me how it works? All right, come on up here. All right, show me how it works. Wait a second. Come on, I thought you knew how it worked. Right, let's switch this. Let's turn the switch here. All right, now. Okay, try it now. Man, there's a problem.
The battery's gone.
Oh, man, the battery's gone. Look at there. Look at that. There's no battery in it. All right. All right, let's take it right there. Okay, let's see. Now, I'm going to let y'all choose. I got 3 batteries in here. Okay, let's put them up here. Put them up here. All right. Okay, here we go. Now, I want you to choose the battery that you think will work. Everybody choose this battery? You choose this battery? You're going to choose that battery, all right? All right, which one did you choose? This one? Number 2? And who chose number 1? Okay.
Actually, I chose that one.
All right. Okay. All right. You chose that. All right. Let's see. Let's see. Bring your drill over here. All right. Let's see. Let's get it in there. All right. We put that. You got to put the power in here. All right. Now try it. All right. Turn around. Oh, man. It's even lighting up. All right. Good. Well, that's a good battery then. That one's got, no, don't go anywhere, man. You're not done. All right, there we go. Who's got number 2? So you're really thinking this one has power, right? You betting your life on it? Okay. All right, let's put it in. There you go. Let's see. Press it on down.
It only works a little bit.
Oh, there you go. All right, well, that one's good. Okay, young Will.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. What do you think about this battery? Do you have confidence in this battery now?
I don't really know.
You don't know. Let's see. Let's see what we got here. All right. Put it in there. All right. Now let's everybody 1, 2, 3. Let's do it again. Maybe if everybody counts with me, it'll work. All right. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Oh, man. Thank you. You did a good job. Thank you very much. All right. Well, I want to give you a lesson with using this drill motor, and these batteries. Hear what the Bible says about power. This is in the book of Acts. It says, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." God says that we have to have power. And who gives us the power to live? God. In fact, He doesn't give us a power that's out there. He comes inside us. Now, all these batteries, they look just alike, don't they?
No, they don't. Pretty
similar. This one's brand new. But you wouldn't know. Nobody knew which one would work until you put it in there. And then you see that when we try sometimes, like battery number 3, we'll try to fill our lives with stuff that looks good, but it has no power. We want to be filled with the Lord, with His Spirit, so we can have power to live. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for each one of these children that they'll listen to you. Lord, that their lives, Lord, will be changed because of the power of the Holy Spirit in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. If you have your Bible, if you turn to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, and while you're turning there today, let me just remind you of a few things that we need to be praying about in our world today. If you look around the world and you look at what is happening in the earth today, what do we always learn about world events? If you're going to understand history, where do you start? You start in Jerusalem. You start there. You start in Israel and see what's happening. And you see what's happening in the earth. It should give us pause to pray and ask God to help us. To help us as people, as a nation, as Christians in the world. He has given us, He has planted us in this time in history to live now. What a privilege to live today. But we need to be diligent about our prayer and all that the Lord is doing in the earth. I was listening to a testimony this past week. This fellow who had done a documentary, he had gone to numerous Muslim countries. He'd gone to Israel also. But he'd gone to numerous Muslim countries. And he said one of the things that he came back with that he said, you won't see in the news anywhere. He said, there is a move in the Spirit. Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus. Now, you won't hear that on CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN. You won't hear that anywhere. But there's a story. Here's a guy, eyewitness. Some are coming to faith by signs and wonders. God's just supernaturally coming to people and revealing Himself. And then in others, great witness is going out. And in particular, there's a lot of that happening in Iran right now. So as you pray, just remember, our Lord truly is Lord of all. Of all. Now, today, we've been in this summer, middle of the summer, we've been in the H series. we looked at hope. We looked at hurt, at help. Last week, what did we look at? Him. And today, we're going to look at healing. Now, I'm going to read this passage to you, and actually to get the full background of this, you need to read the whole chapter 9 in John. We're not going to do that today, we're just going to read the first part. But we're going to do a little flyover of healing. I'll come back to this later on in the fall. We'll spend a little bit more time with it. But today, I want you to listen with your spiritual ears and see with your spiritual eyes what the Lord wants you to see today. John chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, that is Jesus, he saw a man that was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. I want you to hang on to every phrase in this. This is a timely message for us today. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's one of those great I am statements. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle. And he applied the clay to the eyes of the man. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And he went away and he washed and he came back seeing. Man. Now, after this, that they get in a contest with the Pharisees, with all of those. There's back and forth. It goes on for several days with what Jesus does. When Jesus comes and he makes a splash, there are ripples in the water when we invite his presence. Now, Jesus is passing by and he sees this man that is blind. How many people had passed by this blind man and his blindness had become part of the furniture of their lives? I want to ask you, are there things in your life where you could use a miracle from God? But again and again, you pass by them and say, and accept them and say, that's just the furniture of my life. Good friend of mine today, now years ago when we met, and he came to know the Lord several months after we met, and he had asked me, he said, man, I just can't understand why people don't receive Jesus right now. I said, how long did it take you? And he goes back and he looks in his life. Look in your life. How long did it take you before you came? And some of you are still kicking the tires. Some of you sitting here are still checking it out. But Jesus was passing by. And I want you to know, he's passing by here today. He's here. He's present. He's on the job. He wants to touch your life. His disciples posed a question to him then. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Because what was their belief? Their erroneous belief was that if someone was born this way or had this condition, it had to be either they had done something or their parents had done something. How many of you believe that? How many of you are looking at your life and just saying, well, that's the way it is because I did this or my parents did this and I am damned to continue to live life in this way? I can't receive the power of God. How many people I've met that believe that? It's not what the Scripture said. And what was Jesus' answer? It was neither this man nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Wow. A couple of things I want to say about that. Number one, God doesn't waste anything in our life. Number two, in eternity past, just think about it, God already knew that this man was going to be coming, that he was going to be there as the Son of God was walking by. And they had a divine appointment. Appointment for something that was miraculous. Something beyond imagination. And the appointment meant that God's power was going to be displayed. We get hung up on the why and the when and the where and all the stuff in the past. And maybe today, instead of you trying to figure all that out and give the linear timeline of how all that bad stuff came into your life, maybe you need to start looking today at the great physician who is present and who wants to do a great work in your life. Because until he does that, until you receive by faith what he's willing to do, you're not going to be able to make sense of the past. It's not going to make sense to you. Because that would imply that I've got to fix myself. I've got to know the exact words to come to Jesus with. And that's not the Jesus we serve. The Jesus we serve says, just come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, come just like you are. I want to ask you, does America need to hear that? Does our country need to hear? Does our Congress need to hear that? I mean, I'm still praying for our Congress to get on their faces before God. For that to happen, for the wind of the Spirit to blow through the Capitol building and for them to come and fall before the Lord. How about it with you? Are you trying to fix yourself? Are you willing to take a step of faith to allow God to do the miraculous in your life? He goes on, Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as there's day, because night's coming when no one can work. You've got the opportunity now. The door is open now. He says many things by that, and we could spend 2 weeks on all that means right there. But one of the primary things that means is Jesus is asking you now. He's knocking. He's saying, will you come to me in faith and receive me as Savior? He's saying to you, will you come to me in faith and receive healing today? Will you let me come and touch your life? Verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. One of the houses Audrey and I lived in years ago, we had a back porch. It was a brick house, had a cement raised back porch lined by brick, had these brick posts and all, and we had a sliding glass door. In the summertime, you could flip on the light and go outside and look at the wall. Now follow me here, it's going to gross some of you out. You could look at the wall of that because we are surrounded by oak trees all around the house. Had one in the backyard and they were there. But you flip on the light and what do you think was all on that wall in the middle of the summertime, Savannah, Georgia, nighttime? Yeah. Well, about the only thing they have in common is the color. La cucaracha. And I mean some that look like they were on steroids. I mean some large ones. Big roaches. But you know what? Or as it tickles me, people that move here from other parts of the country where they've not been around cockroaches in the and they call them water bugs. That just tickles me. I guess it makes you feel better and all that, you know, call them water, but it's still a roach. But what happened, what began to happen immediately when the light went on, what would happen to those roaches? They run to the darkness. Let me ask you this. How would you like for the sickness in your life to run away from you? How would you like for the maladies of your life to run away from you? How would you like the garbage in your life, the lies that you've come in agreement with as you've grown up and wherever you grew up, and we've all had to deal with lies that we believed on into adulthood. How would you like to see those nullified by the truth and run to the darkness? That's what happens when Jesus comes. He's light. He lights up your life. He lights up everything about you. And He has a plan. A plan that is big. And it's a plan. You don't have to understand all the details of how you got to where you are today. All you have to know is, I need Jesus. I need Him in my life. Now, verse 6. When He said this, He then spits on the ground. Now, that's what you expect Jesus to do. I'm not going to reenact that right now. But that's what you expect Him to do, to show up and He spits. Right? Of course not. Nobody's expecting that. Imagine all the doctors of the law, the guys that were standing around watching every move He made to see when He's going to trip and stumble and fall and trip over His words. They were just waiting to catch Him in something. And He spits on the ground. Now imagine this. He spits on the ground and He's got to kneel down there then. Imagine it. And He makes clay with that. And then He comes and He puts it on the man's eye. I know some of you are thinking, man, I want some of that clay. Right? Now see, then you would make an idol. You would make an idol of the method. Is this what Jesus did every time? Now hang in here with me. So He makes them. He makes clay with the spittle. He applies it to the man's eyes. And He says to him, now imagine, these are eyes that have never been opened. Never been opened. He applies it to the man's eyes. And He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the name of the pool that He's talking about is significant because the name means sent. What's happening to him right now? He's being sent by Jesus. Now, did he go by there by himself? Let's fill in the blanks here a little bit. What's the probability that he walked there by himself? He's blind. What do you think happened? People went with him. In fact, probably whoever got him to the place where he sat every day begging, that person or person probably escorted him there. But they probably had a lot of people going with him to watch. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed. I love this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon calls this the golden muzzle. The golden muzzle. They'll muzzle the opposition. The Scripture says, and he came back seeing. Not bragging if you can do it, is it? He did it. Now, what's the process that happened here? There's a process. Sometimes Jesus just would sovereignly, bam, heal somebody. Sometimes we see healing that takes place that's prophesied in advance, and it takes place at a later date. Can I get a witness on that? Seen it happen. You see examples in the Scripture. And in this example, he requires of this man, number one, look at the steps of faith this man takes. First of all, he could have said, get away from me. When Jesus starts to put that mud on his eyes, he could have said, go away. But what does he do? He receives that. He comes in agreement with what Jesus wants to do in his life. But it didn't stop there. When Jesus says, go to the pool, what does the man do? He goes to the pool. And people go with him. You see that there's an entourage. It's something that when faith happens, when we trust the Lord with something in our lives, it builds the faith of other people. And it ripples out, and there's always controversy, eventually. There's always going to be controversy because it's the work of God in a world that is fallen. And if you think that you're going to experience the work of God in your life and not have opposition, you've never read this book. And you've never listened to the Lord. Because when we serve Him, we are going to run smack dab into the middle of opposition. The world, the flesh, the devil. That unholy triumvirate that is against us in everything we do. But this man doesn't give the simplicity of this. You know, later on in the story, he's brought before, several times he's brought before these learned scholars of the Word who supposedly knew all about God, and there's a Son of God standing in their midst, and they don't even recognize it. Ain't wrong. And all he has to say is, all I can tell you is once I was blind, but now I see. Let me ask you. You know, one of the verses we quote from the Old Testament very often says, by His stripes we are healed. Now I want you to know, the primary meaning of that is about salvation. That's a salvation passage. By stripes we are healed. We are forgiven in Jesus. But you know what it also means? That physically, that God does a work in our lives if we let Him. Are you willing to let Him? Show of hands. How many of you have experienced physical healing in your life? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Put them up high. I want to see. Turn around and look. Look at everybody who's got their hands up. Okay? Who are we glorifying right now? Who did it? And who's going to do it the next time that it's done? And who wants to do it more than we have received? Jesus. Does that mean we have control over that? No, it does not. No, it does not. Because every time God decides to do that, it is a sovereign act. And Jesus says right here, we read what healing is always about. It was neither this man that sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Because what is the Lord about? He is about glorifying His name. Some of you have some hurts from childhood, some places where the Lord wants to come and heal. Right now, my father-in-law is in the hospital. He's been in the hospital for about a week and a half. And I got thinking about this the other day. He stepped on a thorn. It went to his through his shoe, went to his foot, became infected. You know, weeks of that, and didn't go to the doctor. And finally, the infection, you know, was starting to take over his body. It was hot. The foot was hot with infection, and he had a fever. It was tough. Took him to the hospital. Well, one of the things that they do that they have that promotes healing in a person's body is they put them in this thing called a hyperbaric chamber, this glass chamber, and they saturate that thing with oxygen. I mean, it's a different atmosphere inside there. And it promotes healing. I want you to see this. You want God to work? You want the Holy Spirit to come and work in you? Then you put yourself in His charged presence. That rarefied air. Man, I'm getting the chill bumps right now. All of me just thinking about it. That rarefied air of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You put voluntarily, by faith, put yourself into it. Just like this man. Jesus coming by and he said, "Yes, Jesus." And the next to the answer to the next question was, "Yes, Jesus." Answer to the next question was, "Yes, Jesus." And what's happening each time? Each time, this man's making a choice to put himself under the cover, under the influence of the power of God in his life. Let me tell you, your life will never be the same. I know there's a lot of difference of opinion about this, so y'all allow me to have my opinion, okay? About to give you a passage, remind you of one. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I'm not going to give you all the jokes about what that thorn in the flesh was. What did the Lord give to Paul for that thorn in the flesh? Grace. There are times when the ultimate healing, my mother, bless her soul, her ultimate healing took place in March of last year when she went on to be with Jesus. Bam, bam. Sick. Cancer, all that, and then bam! Phew, presence of Jesus. I'm not going to drag her back here. But one day I'm going to go to be with her. Hallelujah is right. Hallelujah. God gives you the grace. Is that also a gift from Him? Is that also part of that rarefied air of His presence? Yes, and yes, and yes. Such that we start living our lives, and our lives become the testimony of the power of God. Do you get me? So, what about it? What about you? I'm going to open the altar. We got this oil here. It's not Jesus' spittle. I even brought this oil here that I can't pronounce. It's all in another language. I brought it with me. No magic. No magic. Because when we anoint you, what are we saying? There's an invitation to at that moment. The Holy Spirit to come. The pneumatic. That God lubricant to come and to come over us. As when we anoint a person, we're calling on the Lord to come and do His work. Am I going to instruct God as to what God needs to do in that person's life? I don't even know the depths of what's going on in that person's life unless the Lord reveals it to me and shows it to me. But at last, we place a person in God's hands. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do today. So I encourage you. Jesus is passing by. Do you know Him? Have you received Him in your life? Do you want His healing in your life? Do you want His grace in your life? You get to choose. You get to choose today. We're at the school and way out in the boonies in Nigeria. And we'd been praying, I don't know how many hours we'd been praying. And all kinds of needs. I know that I personally, in that time, prayed for well over 100 people. I mean, it was absolutely draining. I felt like if I touched one more person, I was just gonna fall over. But God was bringing the power; He was coming. All kinds of things the Lord was doing that day as we're praying. We're seeing salvation. We're seeing people healed. One of the young teachers that was there came to me after we'd finished praying, and he got me to the side. And he said, "Pastor, come here. I need to talk to you." "What's going on?" He said, "You don't know what happened today, do you?" I said, "Oh, man, I've seen the power of God happen." He said, "But there's something happened today that we can't explain." I said, "Well, what? What are you talking about?" Well, he said, and he told me the young man's name. He's one of the students there. Kid's about, he was a middle schooler, about 13 years old. He said, "That kid has been deaf since he came into the world." He said, "That kid is hearing now." You get that little ripple there? I don't remember what I prayed for that kid. Because you know, it doesn't matter. Jesus was in the house. He's here. If He chooses to do that or to give you the grace. But don't miss the big picture. Salvation to everyone who comes. Let's pray. Lord, now we come. We open the altar. We ask You to come and touch our lives today. Come and move, speak, work. Bring salvation, Lord. Bring healing. Bring grace and mercy today. Come, Lord. Come with Your power and strength. Come and do what only You can do. We invite You, Holy Spirit, very Spirit of Jesus Himself, come now, right now, and work. Thank You. Pastors are here. The altar's here. You are here, and He is here. Come. The altar's open. This is Matthew Manning. He has a word from our sponsor.
How you doing? So last Sunday I stood up here, asked for y'all to come and pray for my little girl. Pray for her surgery, pray for everything to go well. Well, she's back there right now getting love and snuggles from her mama right now. And I thank y'all for that so much. They said that it would be 6 weeks before she would be able to eat foods that weren't pureed. They said that she'd be in full casts. They said we wouldn't even be home until Monday. And we came home yesterday. She's eating pureed foods, and they're saying now one more week of pureed foods, and she'll be back on solids. They're saying just another week on her arm casts. So she is a miracle. In fact, the head surgeon said that he's never seen a little girl heal so fast in 35 years. So after 24 hours, they were hoping for her to take 2 or 3 bites of Jell-O. She ate 3 cartons of Jell-O at one time. So I thank y'all so much for all the prayers. We really appreciate it.
Bless you, McCall. All righty. Well, you know, Jesus isn't just passing by in here. He's going to be passing by at your work, at your home. Why not just cooperate with Him? I mean, eventually you're going to have to. You know, because one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord. So let's get an early start. Now, Lord, You have truly passed by here today, and You have done work in our lives. You have begun some great and mighty things. Lord, as You send us out into the world, let us be part of Your plan, Lord. Your plan of salvation, Your plan of healing, Your plan of grace to the world, the dark world. Jesus, light of the world, shine through us as we go from this place now. In Jesus' name, amen.